Welcome back, everyone, for another weekly show of Anime Talk. I am Joe. I am your host. And this week I have four, we'll call them substandard guests, for lack of a better word. But let's get started with some stuff here. First off, as usual, it's me, Joe. I write for We Remember Love. And you can find me on Twitter, at JoeAnimated. And if you have a question, feel free to use the social stream or send me a mention on Twitter. But let's get to our first guest today. Aeroblip, why don't you start?
What's up, everybody? My name is Aeroblip. I am the executive producer at Friday Anime Podcast. I am also a guest, or not guest, I'm also a writer over at Kivo's blog at Deus Ex Machina. So, you know, you should come check out that show, too, after this.
Definitely. I've been a guest on there as well. It's a lot of fun to be a part of and to listen to. Next up, we have Numbers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Numbers. I have a blog at numbersinspace.wordpress.com. And my top five idols are number one, Otsubashi Kotani. Number two, nice Amami Haruka. Number three, Kisaragi Chihaya. And for four and five, I think I'll have to go with Miki and Makoto.
Can I jump in, please?
No, move on.
God, I forgot.
You messed up?
No!
Our next guest is Kevo. Go ahead.
Damn it! Hi, everyone. I'm Kevo. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Deus Ex Machina. Come visit my blog. We're a lot of fun. I also write reviews and troll at Nihon Review. You can follow me at Kevo31415. For me, it's Hibiki, Haruka, Iori, Miki, Yayoi. Come at me.
Oh, jeez. And if you haven't picked up on already, these guys are doing an Idol Master theme show today. I refuse to. I acknowledge it today.
Takane.
All right, next
Azusa,
up.
Azusa, Ritsuko. Yeah.
I'm going to mute him. Anyways, next up is Summer. Go ahead.
What's up, everybody? It's Summer Satellite. I'm a new blogger over at summersatellite.wordpress.com. You can follow me at Natsu no Satellite, 1L, not 2, on Twitter. And my top five idols are Makoto, Yayoi, Mami, Miki, and Haruka.
Nice.
So, Joe, is this going to be like around the horn where you just indiscriminately mute us for saying stupid stuff?
You know, I could do that. If it gets that bad, I will. But I was going to say, or we could just mute Kevo and that would solve everything. But on to the first topic tonight. So, what is your favorite anime adapted from something other than a manga, visual novel, or we'll even go light novel? Kevo, why don't you start?
Well, my favorite anime that was adapted from something other than a manga or a visual novel would probably have to be this thing called The Idolmaster, which is adapted from the game of the same name. I really like the show because A1 Pictures put a lot of effort into it. They obviously had more than enough money. And it also is a great study on how to properly adapt something cross-medium from a video game into an adaptation. And it does this in two different ways. It honors the fans primarily by keeping to a bunch of standards of its source material. It pays homage to the source material via, obviously, big things and small things. And most importantly, it's also additionally creative in its own right, but yet within the bounds to keep the fans interested. It both attracts new fans by being just a really great work, like Aeroblip, and also makes old fans... And it also makes old fans really happy and excited to watch, like Shin 87. So, you know, I think The Idolmaster is an excellent study in how to properly make a really, really, really great adaptation that everyone would love and enjoy.
You must have, like, written that out and had it on a piece of paper in front of you.
No, I'm just very passionate about The Idolmaster.
Well, for the record, we did have our own show about this, The Idolmaster. And I'm pretty sure we also talked about the same idea of adapting some kind of video to it, like an anime adaptation, like two shows ago.
Also, let's be honest here, A1 Pictures had the backing of Namco, which makes millions of dollars on DLC and whatever the hell it makes money to. I swear it's a front for an international crime ring.
Money's a good thing, yeah.
And they just dumped money into A1 Productions. Like, that animation quality is friggin' through the roof. We could have fed kids in Africa with that money. No. Anime.
Yeah, but
think about this, though. Instead of those kids eating, they now get to see idols.
I'm okay with this.
I feel like knowing idols, knowing Idol Master in general, is just like the next step to world peace. Just right there.
Yeah, I think if everyone in the world just watched the Idol Master, we would have world peace. Because and Yerocha, it's, I don't have it rehearsed, I'm not that lame, I've just written about this before. Anyways, because everyone just come to an understanding, because no matter what you believe, no matter who's your favorite idol, no matter what's your favorite song, all of us Idol Master people, we are brothers, and we understand each other. Okay, so if everyone in the world was an Idol Master fag, we would have such great world peace. And the Jews and the Palestinians, the Ethiopians and the Somalians, the Chinese and the Taiwanese, we would just understand each other. Not in the language of war, but in the language of idols.
All right,
Kevo,
you're going to go on a 5-minute timeout if you spout in that stuff. All right, Summer, what about you? Favorite anime adapted from something other than a manga or visual novel?
Okay, you changed the question back to not including light novels, which makes this so much easier on me. Because you were going to limit me to actually answering with Idol Master.
All right, but we'll leave light novels out there.
All right, leaving light novels out, it would probably have to be either a tie between the Monogatari series, which of course is just fantastic all across the board, or Spice and Wolf, which is one of my favorite light novels of all time, and I love the anime to death, so...
Numbers, what about you?
Yeah, if VNs were included, then I would pick F. But they're not included, so I'm going to have to go with Idol Master. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely my favorite of 2011, and probably of the decade. And like Kivo said, I really like the money put into it, but also... all this money gives them so much freedom to do what they want, and they also have a lot of stuff that you can't buy with money, like a lot of good. I'd say, like take the first episode. Like, who's going to do that, right? With the documentary, nobody. I think it's really well. It has the freedom to be creative, and it shows.
Okay. Alright, so let's move on to our next topic for tonight, then. If you can make a spin-off of any franchise, what would you make? Aeroblip, why don't you start? Now you can actually talk.
Ugh, thank you. Wait, I was muted? Anywho. let's see. Any franchise. Well, I guess, considering the theme of the show, I guess I'd have to go with an Idol Master. But in all seriousness, though, like, I really do say Idol Master just because... the world, like, quote-unquote, the world is so expansive, it's very easy to branch off and look at, like, other side stories and, I guess, other aspects of the idols' lives. So, you have the game itself, which portrays them, you know, going from, you know, bit, like, you know, two-bit singer to top idol, right? And then you have the anime itself focusing more, I guess, on the unity of the 765 production. Now, with that, there's actually so much more to explore. So, say, for example, I don't know, a side manga called Puchimasu, which is actually like a really funny four-coma manga in which you take all these idols, which seems like a normal situation, but then you actually include little chibi miniature versions of themselves. So, like, say for an example, Iori, or Iroin, I believe that's what it is. So you have this little thing that's like almost like a dog that's just walking around that's all cute and cuddly, but then, like, you know, Iori's known for having a big forehead, and this, you know, just coincidentally, this Puchimasu can shoot lasers from its forehead. So it's like, you know, it still follows the idol canon, but at the same time, it just focuses more on, like, the happier and, like, the more comical side of this franchise. So that's what I would go with.
If I may say something, does that sound like? Here's the problem with that. Do you remember that Tsuruya... Chibi Tsuruya spinoff of Haruhi, and how it seemed like this great idea, but in the end it's like just like super lame. Like, I think there is a concept of overkill, especially if you adapt a four coma. Because let's be honest here, everyone quit.
Kevin, what were you saying before I so conveniently cut you off?
I was just saying that there is a such a thing as franchise overkill, because, you know, when you start adapting just silly spin-off or comas that don't have a lot of substance, it seems like a lot of fun at first, but really it starts to get lame. If anyone recalls the Tsuruya spin-offs of Haruhi, or maybe I just watched too much anime, you know, it just wasn't very entertaining. Maybe okay. Hardcore fans loved it, but...
Well, for the record, though, I never said it had to have its own two-season or two-core thing. It said a spin-off, it was like, so essentially it could be an OVA.
It was an OVA, so. And I just thought it was boring. Well, but that I hope to be corrected. Like, if something like that does come out, you know, I will never just write something off without watching it. I root for anime to be good.
Well, not to mention, too, I feel like no matter how bad something is, like, a franchise can always come back. Say, for example, Xenoglossia, right?
We don't talk about that.
I mean, Xenoglossia came out, and, like, it was okay, but it did get a lot of negative reviews, especially from the Idolmaster fans. So, you know, you give it a waiting period, you know, let it cool down, and then next thing you know, you get Idolmaster, like, the Idolmaster, so...
Right. Right, I mean, one element, again, of a good adaptation is actually appeasing the fans and being generally accurate. I'm not talking, like, you know, number of noble phantasm that hit Ryder in this scene. I'm talking about, like, not having any personalities or anything like that. You know, just things that are key being changed.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree. I think I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, if I were to make a spin-off of Idolmaster, I'd take 876. What's that?
That was going to be my answer, yeah.
Yeah. That's Bandai, right?
You'd have a set of solid voice actors.
That is true.
And Kevin likes a trap, so...
Oh, yeah, it's got traps.
Hell yeah. Hanakana, Tomats,
Please stop him. Please stop him right now.
All right, so moving on. What is your perfect idol for Idolmaster? What are her features, gimmicks, abilities? Basically, what's your dream girl you'd throw into Idolmaster? Numbers, why don't you start?
All right, I like them a bit, I guess. I like short hair, a bit of that. Office girl aura.
Oh, you
I like
suck.
I like it when they sing that, you know, those jazzy songs you sing in bars with all the classy people drinking whiskey. Yeah, she has to sing in there. I don't like the, well, I prefer if it's not that flashy, you know. Like, Yayoi type Kirame flashy. Kira.
You just essentially described Kotori.
Oh, what a coincidence, man. She's the best. And I totally dipped her avatar.
Wait, you drew that?
No.
Okay.
I dipped on her avatar.
You can have it.
And you're sad. No, you're sad about it, and I know.
It's okay. I would never prejudice anyone for their Idolmaster beliefs. As long as you're an Idolmaster fan, you are my brother.
Dude, I'm Ask Bros till the very end.
No, you were still with him.
That's the lesson we're going to be walking away from this, you know, talk show, having learned.
So, Summer, you've been pretty quiet in the background. What's your favorite? What would be your perfect idol for Idolmaster?
Charity exists in the anime. It would have to, without question, be Makoto. I mean, just the boyish aspects, the appearance, you know, in the same sense, the strong, like, protective and caring about, you know, the other idols and her friends, but also, you know, just the side she shows in her specific episode where she is also, you know, wanting to be protected and saved by someone. It's just, this character is fantastic and absolutely perfect. So, absolutely nothing needs to be changed.
Aeroblip, what about you?
There is no such thing as the perfect idol.
I love it.
Trust me. I love Idolmaster, but there is no such thing as a perfect idol. And to be honest, I'm just okay with that, because with every single one, the each one has their own flaws and their, you know, I guess their quirks. And, you know, some may see it as a hindrance, but to me, I see it as charming. And I like that. And I want to, it's okay to, for them to have that. They don't need to have every single thing to make them great. And that's, I guess that's why I love Idolmaster so much, is because whatever I want, I can just grab it from a particular idol, you know? So say, for example, I like the cheeriness, I can go with Haruka. That, you know, that defines her, and I'm, by all means, I love that a lot. And then say you have, like, you know, the idol of the dark past. You can either go with Chihaya, or you can go with Kotori, or you could probably argue for Ritsuko, because, you know, Ritsuko's very serious. She had her shot, but it kind of fell through. So you know what? It's fine. Like, you don't need a perfect idol. I have 13 idols right here, plus another 3 from 867, and then plus God knows how many from Cinderella. And to be honest, I like Jupiter too. So, fuck
what?
You.
I don't, okay,
they're not good. Okay, let me say. Idols, the original 13, God tier. Jupiter, I won't commit suicide tier. All right? I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not gay for them, but I'll...
No, that's left for Kevo to do.
No. See, Kevo is not gay. He just likes things that have dicks tucked away.
I love how I can't even defend myself.
Well, you are a known trap lover, so... Yeah, wait a minute. This is a question I have for you guys. Is there a trap in Idolmaster?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
Then there's actually one reason I might watch the show then, if there's a trap. That's it.
Just one?
This is news to me. Joe is watching, like, a trap that actually make you watch a show. This is a revelation now.
Because there has to be some surprise. Like, I want to see the trap and the guy that's the manager somehow get in a situation where he finds out it's actually a male. That's because that stuff's actually kind of funny. But otherwise, it's probably...
But you... Hold on.
You got numbers.
Okay. Do you, like... know or have heard about the second half of Idolmaster?
He doesn't know anything about Idolmaster.
I know nothing.
I love how I don't get a turn to answer the question.
Who cares, Kibo? You like that's your perfect battle.
Like we just said, like, okay, the first half was great, but it's kind of straightforward, right? But the second half is, like, if they finished at the first half, it'd be great. It'd be awesome. It'd still be one of my favorites. But especially the second half made it my favorite show of 2011. Like, legit. It's good.
Me too.
Yeah. So, Joe, here's the thing to consider. Idolmaster. So, going into this anime, I've never heard of the franchise before, okay? And I'm not even a big fan of Moe either. So, going into this, I was thinking, it's the summertime, there's not much to watch, might as well pick this up. Watch the first 5 episodes, but it was okay. You know, comedy was there, was a bit of comedy. It's kind of like this amalgamation of, like, slice of life, comedy. It's just... It's got all these little things together. And to be honest, it's a show about idols. But later on, like, the show starts to develop some of the characters. And you get unexpected depth from this show. That's the thing. I agree with numbers that the second half is a significant step in, I guess, calling it, like, a really great anime. But I don't want to put it on that pedestal for you. I just want to let you go. If you decide to, if you go through the show, I will say right now that it will surprise you. I'm not going to say the second half is this gift from God, but there were things that I didn't expect from it. And because of that, I actually grew to love not only the show itself, but the franchise in general. Like, because of the show, I started actually learning the canon. I started actually listening to the songs. I did so much more that I didn't do with any other anime. That's the thing.
Yeah, and as someone who has just recently finished the series for the first time, you know, is coming in fresh to it, I actually haven't had time to get to the franchise yet, but I plan to. But a lot of what he's saying is true as well. Like, throughout a lot of it, I wasn't expecting, like, an incredible amount of something or other, but it did surprise me in that, you know, just the way, like, through a lot of it, I did not expect characters to be as in-depth or as potentially relatable or as sometimes realistic as they were. And they really surprised me in that aspect by, you know, obviously the show is extremely character-focused, and just the way it carries through with each character and their relations with each other and the way they grow together, you know, in the Namco Pro Production Company is just really fantastic. And it really surprised me in the end to the point where it That ended up being a lot more than I ever expected, and I didn't even realize it until I was done with the series.
So my perfect idol for the Idol Master?
Go for it,
no, my favorite is Hibiki, but to be honest, it would be Haruka. Because I like her because she's a good balance of being a leader. And you know, there's all these, like, she's only the leader, maybe, you know, de jure, but, like, de jure, yeah, law, by law, she's the leader. No, you know, just because she's kind of the main girl, she's in the center all the time, you know. But I like how she's not so generic, because there are a lot of other shows that have ensemble casts that have a leader that has very obvious, by-the-book leadership qualities. I like how there's actually, like, some chemistry and some balance of power between, you know, producer Haruka and Miki and all those things, and she has foils, and it's a very complex, she has very complex relationships as pertaining to her comparison with the rest of the cast, and I really like that. She also has a great fashion sense, and I also like her happy attitude.
Yeah, a lot of them have a good fashion sense, by the way.
Haruka's first show like that is have to be. But you think
sometimes
it's
hit or miss.
They have to dress up nice, wear whatever. You know what I mean? You're
right.
I mean, it's the casual. I mean, that's what we're focusing on.
And then of course, you know, later on in the show, you know, she obviously gets some development. But yeah, like even just out of the box, you know, as she develops throughout the series, you know, she gets a foil with Shihaya, she gets a foil with Miki. So it's nice. The Idol Master character dynamics are surprisingly complex if you just look into them.
Okay, so let's go to our last topic for tonight. Is current anime too over reliant on the use of personality flaws to bring depth to a show, or to show growth in the characters themselves? Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah, so, definitely.
All right. So, Summer, why don't you start us off on that?
Summer.
I pushed it off for a moment, but I think when I was thinking, you know, was coming up with this topic, originally I intended to push it in an Idol Master direction, but I ended up giving up on that because I figured there had to be some substance to this show. But I think with this one, what I really had in mind for this season was Tokoro Connect, in that all three of its, you know, female leads have, like, heavy personality flaws that are extremely focused on. It is, like, the focus of the anime in its entirety. And, of course, the way it goes about the, you know, random happenings that are going on to the characters, and the way it portrays all of it through that lens is different, but it's still, you know, every single character in there relies on their character flaw to give them depth and to show them growth. Whereas, I think that is taking a little bit too far. Like, Tokoro Connect is the first example where I think it's just gone so far that I'm losing the ability to care.
Yeah, I think that shows completely depends on the character flaws to the point where it's that's all they're talking about is character flaws. It's almost annoying at times.
Yeah. Let me just say real quick before I give the floor to Aeroblip. When I saw this question, I'm like, people are going to talk about Tokoro Connect. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what you wanted to say?
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. Here, watch. Check this out. This is going to blow your mind. So, you say that a lot of current anime is too reliant on it, and I do agree that, you know, that does seem like the general direction. You have, of course, Tokoro Connect, and another one of last year, Anohana. Remember that flower? So, the idea is that, like, you have all these characters, and then the thing is that their flaw is what defines them. And by, like, actually having those characters be defined by those flaws and going through the situations, that's what we call, quote-unquote, growth. Here's the unique thing about Idolmaster, though. A lot of these characters actually go through these, you know, essentially life-changing situations, and yet it's not actually based on the personality flaws. So they're, I guess, in a sense, they're more of a victim of circumstance, as you will. So let's say, for an example, oh, actually, I can't even use an example. I'm sorry. That'd be spoilers. So, let's just say this. Things happen to a character that are completely out of their control. And by the way they react, it essentially creates the drama of the show. It's like something that they didn't expect or didn't know how to overcome. So then now it's actually more back, or it's, so now the show is actually focused on them using not only their personality strengths, not their flaws, but their strengths to overcome these situations, but also the use of their the other characters as well. As Kibo mentioned, there's actually a brilliant character dynamics like between each of them. Like, they essentially build off each other. So I wouldn't say that current anime itself is, you know, too, you know, or focuses on these personality flaws. But I think that good anime can actually show depth without actually relying on these personality flaws. It's becoming common, yes, but it can be done. It can be done.
But here's before somebody else jumps in here, I want to argue back real quick, just that I don't feel, honestly, that Anohana is a good example of that, because I think there's a difference between full-on character flaws like we see in, you know, Kokoro Connect, where it's because of this happened, Yui or Iori is literally this way completely. And the fact that in Anohana, I think it was different in that a lot more of that was overall trauma that they were experiencing all throughout their character and not pinpointing, catalyzing one flaw in their character.
While I understand the gist of this question, I had this to postulate. Aren't, like, character flaws what makes humans human? Like, isn't that how characters are delineated from each other? I mean, obviously, there's a difference between, you know, character flaws, but, like, that's how people are defined, and that's their experience, like, your experience through life draws, creates your personality, and, you know, what is perfection? Like, the character flaws, quote-unquote, shape a personality. So, what I'm really getting at is, do character flaws even exist?
They do exist. But here's, Kibo, here's
please
the thing,
tell me
though.
You didn't make that this meta. Oh my god.
I feel like there's a difference between, like, a flaw describing a character and a flaw defining a character.
Yes.
So, like, that's where I think that's...
Here's my main problem with Kokoro Connect, and it's exactly this question. Okay, it's not because Kokoro Connect isn't as good as it is, not because it goes the wrong way, or it, like, you know, it addresses things the way it does. It's not as good as it could be because it's easy. You know, it's easy to create these flawed characters, put them together, and then create melodrama around it. That's, you know, it's better than, you know, friggin' moe crap all day. But, you know, it's actually a story. But I am not absolutely sold on Kokoro Connect because I see a lack of creativity from it. I really do. I mean,
yeah.
With what it has, it's predictable. Now, it's harder to predict what it will have, but with what it has and the information that it gives us, it's predictable. The plot is predictable.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, I think the big difference between, like, Kokoro Connect and, say, the second half of Idolmaster is that in Kokoro Connect, they really spell it out for you, right? And it focuses all on this on these character flaws, but whereas in the second half of Idolmaster, it's... Yeah, they say it maybe once or twice, but it's all a lot of it is implied, and a lot of it is and that also makes it stronger, I feel, because like say in real life, right? You don't go these heavy conflicts, they don't happen often, but when they do happen, you can feel the context behind it, you can feel the weight behind the situation and everything around it, whereas in Kokoro Connect, it's very simple, like. Oh, she has androphobia or something, right? And it's just this one thing. Whereas in Idolmaster, it's like this character flaw, and then the context around it, and like her entire character is
it's more it's
taken
more fleshed
out.
Yes. So therefore, we just proved that Idolmaster is better than Kokoro Connect.
Yeah, well, as much as I get as much talk. This show come back to Idolmaster, even though I've actually succeeded in taking it away. Like, I think Numbers does raise a really good point in that, like, Kokoro Connect has gotten to the point where, like, early on, I was proud of the show for not making Yui's androphobia, like, her defining characteristic. But that's changed now. Idolmaster, honestly, does really well there. Because a big problem I have with Kokoroko right now is that Inaban is, like, she is entirely her flaw now. There is nothing else I can see in her character to make me care about her and make me want her to like, stop being upset and depressed and what all. In Idolmaster, like, you know, I won't, obviously can't spoil anything, but in Idolmaster it was more, you know, the entire series, I see these characters being incredible and being powerful and succeeding through their own efforts. So when I see something dragging them down, I want them to overcome it. I think that's a big, big difference between the two shows.
I think
so.
Go ahead. Oh, okay, if I had to describe it simply, it's like Coco Connect is very one-dimensional, whereas Idolmaster is very three-dimensional, like as in depth, right? And,
yes.
What Satellite said really hits the spot. Like, first they build them up, then they drag them down, and then they build them up again. And it reminds me a lot of Full Metal Panic, the third season, where, like, in the first season they build them up, and the second season was comedy, but in the third season they drag Sosuke like down to the ground, and they build his character up from the ground up again, and it's great to see in Idolmaster 2.
So we're saying that Idolmaster is deep.
Yeah, yes. It's totally deep.
All right, I like this.
I don't know if I'd say deep so much as better at portraying characters as human, which is
deep
a really good
letters.
Thing.
Okay, so it's complex then.
Yes, and that's a good one.
Did you read my post about Haruka's episode? Idolmaster is deep.
Oh, yeah.
People read
Idolmaster is deep.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd say,
so, moving on.
Why are we talking about Coco Connect? Seriously.
What?
Yeah,
well,
so,
also, it's,
okay, go wait, for it.
Let me say one thing. It's also that this quote-unquote deepness with the capital letters is because it's so surprising. It also makes extra impact, I'd say.
Yeah, that is true. Because it's something like I feel like it was hinted at in I guess the early episodes, but you never thought they would explore it that much later on. So.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a bit scared. You know, sometimes when a lighthearted show takes on the drama, I'm like, this is going bad. Like, I really didn't like, say, the latter episodes of Kanagi. But Idolmaster nails it on the head. It's great.
All right, guys, so first question up. If you could, let me get this correct here. It's from Fosh. His question is, let me get it so I say this correctly. If you had to kill off one of the idols, who would you pick and why?
You bet.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Jupiter.
Oh, damn. That's easy.
Jupiter.
That's too easy. That's not the
that's
point of the
easy.
Question. Pick a girl.
Iori.
Fuck you. No, I would never kill Iori.
See, it has to be one of the girls that can't be producer.
See, Yayoi, because she's poor and no one can miss her.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
This is Arrowhead saying this, not me.
Okay, hold on. Before I talk, I got to caveat the show. I got to caveat the show. The views expressed by the guests on my show are not necessarily the views expressed by me. There we go. Okay, moving on.
Okay, let me continue. Okay, I'll backtrack on that joke. But in all honesty, Yayoi is probably the one I like the least. Simply because, you know, there's not really much to her. She's overly excited. She's a child, and like, or as like what Shin puts it as, it's an old woman in like a young girl's body, and it's kind of just boring, you know. Like, she's not a good singer. She's not really bombastic. There's nothing really good about her except for the fact, or there's nothing interesting about her except for her crazy hair and her childish antics. That's kind of it.
Honestly, I think that the reason that's okay is because, A, you know, you see her as this caring, like, you know, older sister, this caring, nice, happy person, because she's a kid. She also has a lot of room to grow, and I know that's not something expressed in, like, the Idolmaster anime, but I think just, like, having that sort of character and that sort of person and saying, go get the world, actually makes for a good character.
Yeah,
you're okay. All right, let me just say something, one thing.
So, Kevo, you got to choose somebody to kill off.
Yeah, first of all, when Shin87 has been mentioned twice, you know that this show is classy.
This view is my view, or this show is reaching an all-new low, but go on.
Yes, I know, Joe, that you want all the idols then. That's okay, too. But my answer might shock some people, here it is. I would kill off Haruka. Because
no!
Killing off Haruka is the best best option to make the show good. Like, if you like that option would have the highest chance of improving the show. It'd probably be freaking weird, and all the fans would still be up in arms. But that's the least harmful option. Because it has the most opportunity to improve the show. Because Haruka is such a core driver of the show. All the other idols will, like, miss her, and they can, like, have all kinds of crazy melodrama. The Haruka-Chihaya ship would split, okay? And, like, Chihaya would be even more melodrama, okay? All the idols, because she's the leader, all the idols have some kind of relationship to Haruka. So when you take her out, and you kill her off or whatever, that has the highest chance of perhaps the show going in another direction or something and doing something with that kind of drama. If it would still suck, I would still probably march on A1 Pictures headquarters, but still.
I never thought of, like, when we said kill off, I didn't actually think that we were killing off a character from the show, but, man, that's like an awesome, like, side story.
I think if I want to answer in a similar fashion to what Kevo did, I'd have to say Miki, because if we consider that, you know, somewhere in the series Miki dies, considering, you know, the go-getter, the happy and the, like, cheery, you know, smile she always brought to everyone in the studio, like, to a similar way to which Haruka brought Rizan and Hope and everything like that, killing off Miki would be like, it would add a lot of drama, yes, in that, you know, everybody, all the sadness. But it would also give all of the idols, I feel, something to, like, reach for. Like, to, I don't want to say they'd want to be who Miki was, but they wouldn't want to leave Nemeco Pro without that kind of shining star that, you know, we see Miki become. And it would really give them all something, like, something incredible to work for.
Summer, let me say one problem with that. Episode 12. Miki technically already left the group, and yeah, they were sad, but I don't think that would have anywhere near the emotional effect that a Haruka going away would ever have. Like, especially after the end of the second half, like, Haruka is, like, she is Danketsu. Like, she is what brings them all together. And if you get rid of that bond, then 765 essentially splits.
Yeah, oh, I also want to say that I'm very sad that the anime doesn't have Danketsu in it.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't.
All right, yeah. So last it's question like from our viewers tonight, guys. What is the best show this season? How does it relate to Idolmaster?
What aired this year?
I can answer this.
This season.
Oh, the season. Still, though.
Yeah, I can answer this. Actually, I can answer Racing. There is no... Actually, no, I won't answer Racing because that's a troll. The best show this season and how it relates to Idolmaster is Yuri Yuri Season 2. I mean, that's not even a question. And the reason how it relates to Idolmaster is, at least for me, I didn't go into the Idolmaster expecting the show to be good. I expected the show to, at most, be watchable. And when it became so friggin' great, and I just cheered for it to be great, you know what I mean? Like, those shows out of the underdog, which you just root for it because you didn't expect it to be good. And it's just pure entertainment. And for me, that was a lot like my experience with Yuri Yuri as well. Because Yuri Yuri is everything I want out of anime. And it was so surprisingly entertaining. And it, you know, kind of like, you know, there's no real story yet. You love the characters. And, man, such a great show. Cute character designs as well.
Nice.
Can I...
Numbers?
Can I count Hyoka in this season?
What was that again? Well, sorry.
Yeah, Hyoka counts.
Okay, yeah, I'm counting Hyoka, because in Hyoka, a lot of characters are kind of the stereotypes, right? But the great thing about these, they're like very aimed stereotypes, so together they form a good story and good character relations, and I feel kind of the same in Idolmaster. You know, you have these certain chemistries that really work together, and together they form a good pair, like Haruchiya and all the OTPs and so on. And also, later on, I really noticed it with, you know, the whole Haruka drama, with especially with her confrontation with Miki.
Yeah.
And you could really feel their core characters conflicting in that matter, and I really liked it. It was a great show of character, and yeah, you can kind of feel the same in Hyoka, in that say the main cast, the main four, they all have their stereotype where they sort of belong in, but together they make the story, together they solve the mysteries, and I'm hoping, yeah, there's also a bit of sort of conflict now with the database and the Hotaru, and I'm kind of hoping there's going to be more conflict later on. I'm not seeing it, but it'd be nice. So yeah.
You go, Summer.
Alright, my answer was a tie between Hyoka and Tari Tari, so now that number is taken, you know, Hyoka, I think I'll answer for Tari Tari, and of course that's as the season stands so far. I think one of the big things I see in Tari Tari that I like a lot is the way that, is the parents really, is the way they're characterized, is the way I think they're rather realistic, is where I like the way, is that I like the way they, you know, they care about their children, and even through rough times, even through disagreements, that never changes, you know, and from a mature point of view of the, you know, of the parents, where they don't ever forget that, you know, even if their kid is mad at them, they understand what's right and, you know, how to help them get it. And I think the way that can connect to Idolmaster is just the way you always have Produce-san, the chief, everybody from Namco Pro, who isn't an actual idol, and I guess if you count Ritsuko, and just the way that there are these older characters who, you know, more know the ways of the world and are really, really care about the idols and really are trying to help them find their own identities and find their own place in the world all throughout the series. So,
all right,
sounds good, guys. So
shame on all three of you. Yeah, you're about to interrupt.
Okay.
I got that. Shame on all three of you.
Everybody's gonna save show now.
You all forgot about Space Bros. Space Bros. Is by far one of the strongest animes of this year. And first, okay, let's start shallow, and I'll go deep on how they're so similar.
They're just empty.
One, they're both A1 Pictures. Two,
I gotta put on my snorkel.
Seriously? Two, they're both underrated shows. Three,
yeah, definitely.
They are both specifically about following your dreams. Every single one of these idols all has a dream of becoming top idol. And that's the same exact themes that are carried on in Space Bros. All the characters want to be an astronaut. Like, it's... like, how can you not see these connections? And by the way, best of all, they're both actually really great character dramas. So yes, we've mentioned Idolmaster quite a few times, and I don't want to hype it up as much anymore, just because I'm afraid you guys would, you know, put it on a pedestal. But the thing is that Space Bros, it's a very lighthearted tone throughout the entire show, despite the fact that they're, you know, it's essentially like a man's well-being at stake, if you know, of him becoming an astronaut or not. And yet, like, you have all these characters coming together, all striving for the same goal, and the latest arc that just finished, like, the second test, where they all were stuck in that room for 3 weeks, like you learned about each one of them, you know, their goals, their ambitions, what's holding them back, what's pushing them forward, and you get all that in Idolmaster. So, of course, like, the greatest anime of last year is so similar to the greatest anime this year.
Oh, what a thought! Hey.
And the show goes quiet.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I blew every one of their minds.
Yeah, you blew my mind.
Show.
I didn't know Space Bros was A1, but...
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, now that I think about it, it looks really similar, actually.
Oh. Alright, guys, so...
stuck my beat.
To close things up, we'll go around the horn here, and we'll get final thoughts from you guys. Kevo, final thought. Kevo.
Kevo.
Oh, moving on. Aeroblip, final thought.
Yeah, that was Kevo's final thought. Yeah, so, by the way, like I said, Idolmaster, really great show. Actually, over at Friday Anime Podcast, we did a show about that a couple months ago with Akira. So you should check that one out. And if you want to record a new show about Idolmaster, you know, feel free to let me know. But yeah. Idolmaster.
Numbers.
Space Bros.
Numbers. Final thought.
Yeah, Idolmaster. Okay, yeah, so follow me on Twitter. It's @numbers_s_. And I was thinking about, like, Adama starts a few audio dramas, so I'm going to look into a translation for that. So stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter, then you'll see it.
Oh, and Summer, this was your first time on the show. Hope you enjoyed yourself. What's your final thought for today?
Gomen-nasai-mi-nasan. I tried.
Weed!
I tried so hard. Oh, but seriously, this was fun. I had fun on here. I'm glad you invited me, even though I didn't volunteer for this. And if anyone doesn't know why all four of us are on here, they need to go find out, because it was absolutely hysterical.
I forgot about my push-to-talk button. So, Idolmaster is the solution for world peace. Kibo signing out.
But anyways, guys, coming up next week, I have Shinmaru from the now of the Cart Driver and Nihon Review, and I have Kuroshinko. He will be on. It'll be early morning his time as well, or something like that, halfway across the country, coming to us live from the Philippines, from the Kansatsu blog. And then I also have, he just accepted today, I didn't get a chance to put him here, but I have Lurks joining us again from the Anime Afterlife podcast. So that'll be great coming up next week. And
Joe, question for you.
Yes.
Are you going to watch Idolmaster now?
No. I have my backlog is huge. I can't I gotta finish Utena before
you,
I can do anything.
Will you put it
on your backlog?
We'll have to debate that later. But anyways, you can find this show and others at my site on WordPress, joeanimated.wordpress.com.
Great site.
I also post things up to YouTube, and I have a podcast feed via FeedBurner. You can click to that link on the side of my WordPress site. And then if you're interested in coming on and think you can show these guys up, you can email me at joeanimated@gmail.com. Anyways,
how can you beat a show about anime? Yeah, about Idolmaster?
Anyway,
how about you come on the Fat Cast and then you try to show us up there? You know, take us on our own home turf.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, I want to be there.
Also, this Dead Maid Cafe guy in the chat, I'm calling you out.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I was like,
what the
hell are
start
you?
Start geotagging your shit.
Do you want to come on our show and tell us why you're so wrong?
Before these guys make a complete fool of themselves, we are signing out. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week, same time, same location.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
I don't mess.